Good morning. It is good to see everybody here this morning. I have a question for you. That's the title of my lesson. Who am I? I'm not asking you to answer who I am. I'm asking you to answer who you are. Okay? In the very familiar story of the prodigal son in Luke 15, Jesus made a very interesting statement. When he said that having wasted his inheritance, the young man came to his senses. Literally, came to himself. And decided to go back home. The prodigal son changed his course of action for the better when he changed his thinking about himself. That is, when he learned to see the truth about who he really was. And so the question, who am I, is a very important question for every human being. It's very difficult to overestimate how powerfully we are affected by the way we think about ourselves. Our self-concept, our sense of personal identity. And if we are to have any hope of a quality relationship with God, and hence a quality life, we're going to have to answer the question, who am I? In a way that's true to reality. If we are serious about the question of who we really are, the place to begin is in the beginning. We must come to grips with the fact that we are nothing less than God-created beings, made in the very image of God Himself. So let's talk about the question of identity for a moment. In Genesis 1, verse 27, we're told God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. What does that mean to you and I? Keep in mind, God is a personal being. And so are we. We are not merely things or even animals. We are persons. And I mentioned this morning in class that I've been watching several documentaries on World War II and the concentration camps and so forth. And one of the tools that the Nazis used to basically make their enemies submit was to basically take every ounce of pride away from them. To make them pretty much forget who they were. To the point that the only thing they could think about was, how do I survive today? And it got to the point where for most of them, they didn't think about anybody else but themselves. And so, we need to understand that the difference between us and the animals is not merely quantitative. It is qualitative. You and I do not merely have more cells than an animal. Nor are we merely a more complex organism, as many scientists would have us to believe. We are of a different order of being altogether. The difference between a human being and other beings in the world is vitally important. And it's something that you and I must understand if we are to truly understand who I am. You see, to murder a human being, for example, is a fundamentally different act than to take the life of an animal. Typically, we take the life of an animal primarily, hopefully, for the purpose of food. Okay? Now, obviously, there are times where we kill an animal to protect someone. Okay? If there's a rattlesnake or a copperhead running around the neighborhood or the yard, chances are he's not getting out of the yard alive. Okay, why? Because they can hurt people. They can hurt animals. Okay? But for the most part, animals are used for food, and God intended it that way. But to take another human being's life is a completely different matter. And in Genesis 9, verses 5 through 6, Moses writes, he says, "Surely I will require your lifeblood. From every beast I will require it. And from every man, from every man's brother, I will require the life of a man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God, he made man." And folks, this incidentally is why abortion is so wrong. It is the illicit taking of human life. And if anyone with half a mind would take the opportunity to even see what a 14-week-old fetus, as they call it, baby, looks like, it's already taking the form of a human, just like you and me. It's got five fingers, a head, legs, feet, and toes. God says he knew us from the time we were in the womb. And so it's important to note that also that God made us male and female. We're not just generic persons. We are men and women. And it's an astonishing thing, really, to contemplate that God has made us to be persons like himself with whom he can communicate and have fellowship. And since we have been created in God's image as personal beings, obviously the central concern of our existence is our relationship to the God who created us. And Solomon tells us this in Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14. And I didn't print that out for a reason. Is it up there, Jim? Click one more time. Kurt, sorry. Because every one of you knows what these verses say. And the minute I start it, you're going to go, "Oh, yeah." The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments. Because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act of judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Every one of us in this room who are adults have heard those two verses numerous times in our lives. And the first few words, fear God and keep his commandments, should be burnt into our minds. Because the very God who created us in his own image. And therefore he does require certain things of us. So let's move on to the next question. We've already noted and talked about the fact that our identity is that of being made in God's image. But what about the question of personal worth? To say that we are persons created in God's image is to say that we have personal worth. We are truly worth more, than any of the lower creatures. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 26, he says, "Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they?" But keep in mind, as equal bearers of the divine image, no person is worth any more or less than another. Every human has a deep need for two things: security and significance. Security being the confidence that we are unconditionally loved and appreciated. And the significance applies to the fact that we have the confidence that we matter, that what we do counts for something good, that our lives are being spent in truly worthwhile endeavors. And the truth is, having been created in God's own image, each of us has an equally full opportunity for both security and significance. And our security is found in Christ. In Romans 5 verse 8, Paul tells us that God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I want you to stop and really think about what Paul is telling each one of us. You are worth the very Son of God giving his own life. God's Son, God, loves you so much that he was willing to go to the cross and die for you. That is the security we need. To know that in Christ Jesus, we can have forgiveness of sins. We can have security in knowing that, no, not everything in this life is going to be perfect. But in Christ Jesus, in the end, everything is going to be perfect. Beyond our every imagination. And then think about significance. Paul, again, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." You know, all of us, at least for the most part, except those who are retired, and probably most of those who are retired are still working, okay, find a certain amount of satisfaction in what we do. Okay? I didn't say we liked it, okay? I said, well, we obviously find a certain amount of satisfaction in it. Okay? But what Paul is reminding us of is that as Christians, any amount of work, any amount of effort we put in to lead others to Christ, to help others in need, whatever the good deed may be, is not in vain. Because it's for God. And so there is significance. Don't ever think that the smallest little act of kindness isn't important. Because it is. You see, we need to feed our minds on the steadfastness of God's love for us. God's love for who I am, for who you are, as his created child, can be counted on. I want you to think about that for a moment. Now, obviously, that doesn't mean that God won't punish us if we persist in sin. What it does mean is that God will never quit loving me. God will never quit loving you. He will be there waiting for as long as life lasts. Always looking. Hoping that his child will walk over the horizon and come home. God will never give up on you. But here's another amazing thing. Although each person has equal worth as a person, Each person is uniquely significant. Folks, remember, equality, and we need to teach the world this, equality does not mean sameness. A dollar bill and a silver dollar are worth exactly the same monetarily, okay? Obviously, we know the dollar of itself is worth zilch, whereas the silver dollar is worth a lot more than a dollar, okay? Unless you try to melt it down and go to jail for it. Okay? But to walk into the bank, paper dollar, silver dollar. Bank's going to give you a dollar for it. They're equal. But they're not the same. You and I are equal, but we're not the same. In the human race, God has created a wonderful blend of equality and uniqueness. And think about this. Even though we have lookalikes, you know, they always say everybody has a twin somewhere. Okay? Well, they may look like me, and the resemblance may be astounding, but they're not me. Chances are, they may be the exact opposite of me. No two people are exactly alike. Strengths imply corresponding weaknesses, folks. Each person has a unique combination of strengths and weaknesses. You know, we never seem to be satisfied with what God has given us as individuals. And we waste a great deal of time wishing for someone else's unique combination of qualities. But Paul makes a statement in 1 Corinthians 12 that we need to remind ourselves of. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body, is it not for this reason any the less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He desired. Now keep in mind, Paul is reminding us, and using the illustration of the physical body, but he's also talking about you and I as the body of Christ. Each one of us has a function. And if we don't function, the body as a whole doesn't function properly. And so we need to realize each one of us is equally important. And you and I need to be thankful for who I am. As long as I am in this world, I need to always be looking for the unique contribution that I personally can make. See, God cares equally and deeply about every detail of every person He has ever created. Luke 12, verse 7, we're reminded, He says, indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, you are more valuable than many sparrows. Now, some of us are saying, well, God doesn't have to count as much on my head. But He knows how many are there. You and I are worth more than many sparrows. Our value as a person is an intrinsic value. It is inherent in what we are. And it will do us good to keep focused on what we are worth as persons. You see, the internal gyroscope of eternal worth as God's creature is vastly better than the ever-changing social mirror on which we sometimes base our self-concept. We need to remind ourselves the world doesn't control who I am. God has made me who I am. And God can use me just as I am. And then one last question. The question of responsibility. In thinking about who we are as persons, we need to think soberly about ourselves. In Romans 12, verse 3, Paul says, "For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith." As persons in God's own image, we are free moral agents. And it's an awesome responsibility to be endowed with the freedom of the will. And we have been given the ability to respond. And therefore, we are accountable for how we respond to God. The writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 4:13, "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do." See, nothing I can do can lower my value. But what I do may misapply my value. My eternal destiny depends on the choices I make about myself as a person created in God's image. And therefore, the ultimate question is, what am I doing with myself? The person God made me to be. Am I choosing to use this person that God made me to be a spokesman for him? And when I say a spokesman for him, doesn't that mean I'm a preacher? But someone who shares their faith with others. And that can be done in so many different ways. They will know you by your love. Love can be shown in so many different ways. But not loving someone speaks louder than any amount of love does. Augustine said these words. Let me close. He says, "Thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts find no rest until they rest in thee." I want you to think about those words. I know they're kind of archaic. Obviously, Augustine was 2,000 years ago, approximately. Maybe not quite that far back, but in modern day English, "You have made us for yourself, and our hearts will find no rest until they rest in you." Until we develop a relationship with God and are in a right relationship with God, we will never truly know who I am. See, we were made individually for fellowship with God. And God wants each of us to be all that He created us to be. See, when we have done our profoundest thinking about who we are and what we're worth, it's not likely that we will improve on the song we learned as children. "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Not much more can be said, is there? Jesus loves me. This about says it all. When you ask the question, "Who am I?" I'm a child of the King. The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Almighty God. Created in the very image of God Himself. That's who I am. I'm not any better. I'm not any worse than anybody. I am who the I am made me to be. Are you being the person that God wants you to be? This morning, if we can help you in your relationship with God, Kurt has chosen an invitation song. I bring my sins to thee. If you need to be made right with God in any way, we want to encourage you to respond to this invitation as together we stand and sing.